This is Akashwani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on government's efforts to promote tourism in India. The participants are Suman Billa, Additional Secretary, Ministry of Tourism, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.
India is a diverse country, not just when it comes to culture, food and people, but also when we talk about the scenic beauty. From mountains to lush green landscape, from blue oceans to white desert, India is a one-stop destination for everything. Ibn Battuta, he had rightly said that traveling, it leaves you speechless, then turns you into a storyteller. To realize the immense potential of tourism to its fullest, the government of India has taken various initiatives, and the most recent being approval of 40 projects across 23 states under the Special Assistance to States and Union Territories for Capital Investment Scheme. To discuss more on this today, we are being joined by Mr. Suman Billa, Additional Secretary in the Ministry of Tourism. Mr. Billa, welcome to Akashwani News.
Thank you.
We are also joined by our correspondents, Ms. Asunio from Kohima, Mr. Kurshid Yusuf from Leh, Ms. Joy from Chennai,
Mr. Sanjeev Sharma from Bhopal,
and Mr. Jay Kishan Sharma from Jaipur. Welcome to the program all. Mr. Billa, before we get into the nitty-gritties, I would like to ask you, what are the initiatives which the government has taken to promote tourism in India? If you could just briefly throw some light on it.
So I think if we look at India, and perhaps we should approach it from the problem statement. So the problem statement for India would be that people say that India has so much of potential, and how much of it have we realized? So clearly there is some gap between the potential and performance. Second is that in India, people are traveling more than ever before because our spending power, because our economy has been booming for a long time. We're the fastest growing large economy. And people are spending more and more money on travel and tourism. How do we create avenues for these people to travel in India and be able to retain them within the country? So the Ministry of Tourism's agenda is to see as to how we can optimize the potential that we have for the country. So essentially, this translates into four things. The first is building infrastructure, because we have great roads, airports, so all of that expansion of infrastructure has happened tremendously. But we also need to have concomitant tourism infrastructure. So when you go as a tourist there, do you have an interpretation center which tells you what it's about? Do you have a clean washroom that you can use, drinking water facilities, you know, selfie points now for those with social media? So all of that infrastructure needs to be built. The second is that we will have to work closely with the industry to create products and experiences. See, the physical infrastructure is there. Suppose if there is adventure tourism, how do we get operators to start doing adventure tourism or even wedding tourism? You know, so somebody has to connect the dots, keeping the potential in mind and get that going. The third piece that we need to do is promotion and publicity. How do we promote India as a destination, not just in markets abroad, but we also need to promote it for our own people so that when I'm thinking of making that trip to Singapore or South Africa, I'm also considering, you know, India as a destination. So all of these three things we do is essentially because not just for the amount of money it brings to the GDP, but also for employment generation. Because all across the world, if you look at tourism, one out of every 10 jobs in this world is accounted for by the tourism sector. In India, it employs 76 million people. So tourism has the potential to create quality jobs at all levels. And I think which is why it's very important for a country like India to focus on tourism.
Mr. Billa, since you spoke about the amount of employment which tourism sector gives to the population in India, I would like to draw your attention to the recent news piece which I had just mentioned. Could you just tell us what initiatives is the central government taking to help the state governments to promote tourism in their respective states?
There are flagship infrastructure programs that we have in the ministry. One is called the Swadesh Darshan program, which is 100% funded by the government of India. So we have developed circuits for the past 10 years across most of the states. And the total outlay that we have spent on that is 5,287 crores for 76 projects. And most of them are complete now. So from there, we have moved now to Swadesh Darshan 2.0. So we have said that now we have developed circuits enough. Now let us develop destinations as world-class destinations. because over 10 years we have learned how this infrastructure piece has to be done. Now it is time for us to spread our ambitions higher and go global. So Prasad is another scheme where we have, which is for pilgrim amenities at places like temples, mosques, churches, etc., to enable pilgrims to go there. So under Prasad, we have done 46 projects for about 1,620 crores. Now, the scheme that you mentioned is called the SASCI scheme, or the Special Assistance to States for Infrastructure Development. Now, this scheme is in addition to all of the schemes that the ministry does. This is a special carve-out that the Ministry of Finance has created to support tourism infrastructure projects within the states. Essentially, this is a 50-year interest-free loan which is given to the states, so which is almost of the nature of a grant. And this money has to be spent on tourism projects. So what we have done is that we have asked the states to come to us with projects which are high in value and high in impact in terms of jobs that they generate, in terms of the revenue that they do, etc. And we've done it on a challenge mode. So as a result of that, we've had several projects have now come to us, and we've been able to sanction these projects for 3,295 crores. And that is going to create a big fillip for infrastructure development. So some of the key things that we have looked at it is that these projects are done with an eye on attracting private investments. These projects are done with an eye on ensuring sustainability, on operations and management, on job creation. So it's a very comprehensive and a very focused way forward.
You have mentioned a lot of pointers. I'll come to each one of them one by one. I would like to bring in Asunio, a correspondent from Kohima. Asunio, could you mention one special feature of your state?
Let me begin by saying that Nagaland has now become one of the sought after prime tourist destination in Northeast India, famous for its rich culture, diversity of tribal peoples and festivals. I would like to attribute this to the various initiatives undertaken by the central government in the recent past years. Let me highlight one of the unique features about Nagaland. It's the tribal, with the unique different tribes of Nagaland. And having said that, we have the Hornbill Festival. So this is one of the major attractions that is happening here. And let me inform our listeners that Hornbill Festival is taking place from December 1 to 10. And whoever wants to, visitors or any tourist whoever wants to visit Nagaland, they can sort out their travel itineraries during the month of December 1 to 10, that is Hornbill Festival.
Asunio, can you also highlight the steps which the central government has taken to promote tourism in Nagaland?
Several initiatives have been undertaken by the central government in the past recent years. Let me highlight how tourism in Nagaland and other Northeast states have gained boost under various schemes. Sir has also mentioned about Swadesh Darshan scheme. So this scheme has significantly boosted, promoted sustainable and responsible tourism, particularly in Northeast region. Various funds have been released for various projects aims at enhancing cultural adventures and ecotourism experience across the region. And for Nagaland, various projects in six districts of Paren, Kohima, Woka, Mokokchung, Mon, and Chinsan have been completed under Swadesh Darshan 1.0. While under Swadesh Darshan 2.0, projects are being undertaken in Newland and Chumukidma district. An amount of 21.56 crore rupees has been already sanctioned for tribal cultural experience at Midway Retreat in Chumukidma district. Now, the central government has also given assistance for organizing fairs and festivals and other tourism-related events like the very biggest cultural festival, the Hornbill Festival, which is now an international acclaimed festival. Central government has also given financial assistance and has also sanctioned 25 lakhs for the Hornbill Festival that was hosted last year.
Mr. Billa, the Hornbill Festival, which attracts a lot of foreign tourists. In 2023, yes, the foreign tourist arrival in India jumped to 43.5% as compared to 2022, and it reached 9.24 million arrivals in that particular year. So my question to you here is, what initiatives are being taken by you to ensure that maximum foreign arrivals happen in India? And second question is, what are the challenges you face when it comes to the safety of foreign tourists?
So foreign arrivals, we have done exceptionally well. As you have said, we have bounced back 43% in a year. And if you actually look at how we have bounced back after COVID, as compared to the rest of the countries within the area, which is South Asia and Asia Pacific, India has had the strongest bounce. We are at 90%. We have recovered 90% of our pre-pandemic level. There are other countries which are, the average is around 80, but there are countries like China which are at a far lower level. So I think as far as India goes, I think from a tourism perspective, we have done exceptionally well as a regional, you know, benchmark. Now, festivals like the Hornbill have great importance because they create a context and an occasion for people to travel. Because I may be somebody who wants to travel, but Nagaland may not be on my list of places to go to. But something like Hornbill creates that interest for me to actually travel there and, you know, be a part of that. So it is not just the destination which is selling itself, but it's also an event where people come together and it's a whole new experience that it is that it creates. So I think we need to have these strong magnets like Hornbill all across the country, especially during seasons where travelers are low. For example, in Rajasthan, when it is very hot, you could possibly have events which happen in the night, which can become a draw for people. So basically, off-seasonality can be covered through having these dynamic events which happen there. So from India's point of view, I think we need to get more and more foreign tourists. We need to flatten seasonality. And there are several things that we have done to get tourists into India. The biggest program, of course, is the launch of the e-visa, because it has made it simple. You apply online and within 24 hours, you get your visa in 90% of the cases. In any case, within 72 hours, you'll get a yes or a no. And in most cases, it is a yes if everything is clear. So I think that has really enabled people to travel to India. And we also participate in several international travel marts and events to take the India product to the world and to sell it to, you know, to get them interested in traveling to India. And the good part is that now it's not just the government of India, but several of the states are taking the initiative to market themselves abroad. And I think that's a very encouraging sign. And India today is globally recognized for our several other achievements, for being the fastest growing large economy, for having so successfully conducted the G20. So our international standing is very high. So I think the tourism fit piece fits very neatly around it. You know, in line with our international standing, India is a place that people recognize. And when they recognize a place, they also want to travel to the destination. So I think to that extent, our job is so much more simpler to market India now.
Can you also name a few countries from where we attract the maximum tourists?
This is a little bit of a, you have a little bit of a, you know, complexity here. Because if you look at the biggest contributor, of course, if you take out the neighboring countries, our number one market is the United States of America. And that's a very long haul. You need to fly 16 hours to reach India. So which basically means that India is a very compelling destination, which is why people are willing to travel 16 hours and come from such a large market. Second is that India also does exceptionally well in Europe, Western Europe, especially Australia, etc. I think so. The generally global West is the market that India looks at. But there are two markets that we need to look at as we go forward. One is the short haul markets of Southeast Asia and the Far East. And I think that is somewhere we need to build bridges, because there's a lot of purchasing power. There's reasonably good connectivity, and I think that is something we should leverage on. But I think the one that is quickest and the easiest for us is actually the Middle East market. And I think that is something that we need to work on. But our traditional market has always been the West. And I think now we are looking at diversifying that. And with products like the Buddhist circuit, etc., it's a great opportunity for us to attract the East and the Southeast Asian markets in.
Since you spoke about the Buddhist circuit, I would like you to throw some light on the Prashad scheme. We spoke about it briefly, but now I would like you to talk about it and explain to us what exactly Prashad scheme is, how the government is utilizing its potential through this scheme.
So I think India has a very special place for pilgrimage, because traditionally in India, tourism was essentially pilgrimage. You see, people always wanted to travel to temples and to places of religious importance. And that is intrinsic to our culture. But if you again look at the problem statement, we have some of the biggest temples. But the experience that they offer the pilgrim may not be the best, because there is overcrowding and, you know, there are capacity issues. Several of those things are there. So the Prasad scheme essentially tries to look at which are these temples, mosques, churches where people go to, and how can we make things easier for the tourist? How can we improve the experience for the pilgrim? It can be simple things. It can be like creating shaded areas, like creating drinking water, clean toilets. There's some place where prasad can be given and where they can eat their food. So these are all simple things that can be done around that, amphitheaters and all that. So the focus really is on how to make it easier for people to go on a pilgrimage. And I think we have, over, as I had mentioned, 46 projects we have done for over 1,500 crores, and I think we have done reasonable amount of good work. But of course, there's a lot more that needs to be done, and in the years to come that will happen.
Now I would like to bring in our correspondent from Chennai, Ms. Joy. She's from a state which has a lot of temples and other religious sites. Can you talk about the major tourist attraction in Tamil Nadu first?
Yeah, Tamil Nadu is one of the favorite destination for people around the world because there are many sites from in all the 39 districts. The government has prepared 73 master plans and they, you know, like to get help from the center also. As you said, Buddhist sites are there in Chengalpattu, Kanchipuram and Mayiladuthurai and Nagapattinam. So it is a circuit and Ramayana sites are there. It is in Ramanathapuram. So Ramanathapuram is also a very favorite destination during a particular season, maybe the end of the year. We have, you know, like temple Gopuram sites, it's called. It's in Chennai. Almost, you know, like there are a lot of temples around, especially for promoting the spiritual and heritage tourism. The government is doing a lot of things, especially central government. Tamil Nadu is among the top five destinations in the country. In July and August, we saw a lot of influx of visitors visiting the state. Especially Tanjavur was a favorite destination because that was an auspicious time during August, and over 81,000 foreigners have visited Tanjavur. In Madurai also, there is a lot of traditional things happening. The famous Meenakshi Amman temple, and during April and May, they have a separate festival which attracts lot of tourists from outside the country. And Kanyakumari is also another favorite destination where there are a lot of temples. Then Gandhi Mandapam is there and there are a lot of beaches there. So it is a very favorite destination. And in Tanjavur, Bragadishwaran temple is there and a lot of handicrafts worth 1,000 and crores of rupees are there. People love to learn the art. And there is the Saraswati Mahal, and Tiruvayaru is a very favorite destination for people who love traditional music.
I actually want to ask you about the Blue Flag Beach, because since you spoke about the beaches and we know that Tamil Nadu has a vast coastline. Yes. Kovalam is a place 40 kilometers from Chennai and was awarded the Blue Flag Beach. Can you talk about it first and explain to us, our listeners, what exactly Blue Flag Beach is and how is the government ensuring cleanliness on the beach?
Blue Flag Beach is a quality beach, which means that it doesn't disrupt the environment in any way, and the water is of pure quality, and there is sustainable development practices. There is no use of plastics, and the government is also periodically monitoring and checking the quality of the water, which is used both for drinking and for bathing purposes. So Kovalam Beach has been given the certificate of Blue Flag. And the other interesting thing is that it lies very near to Mahabalipuram, which is a favorite destination once again for international tourists, especially during the end of the year, because the atmosphere, the season is very conducive for them. Climate is also very conducive during that time. So a lot of tourists visit Mahabalipuram, then Kovalam, because it is in the East Coast Road. They also go to Puducherry, and in Puducherry, Eden Beaches. That is also a Blue Flag Beach. So all these things, you know, like they are like lined up from Chennai to Puducherry. People who are visiting Chennai also visit Puducherry.
Mr. Villa, since Joy spoke about cleanliness and sustainability, it's one of the most important aspect which the government is also looking at and ensuring that we don't harm nature. Could you just speak about a few schemes and what are the initiatives that the government has taken to ensure sustainability and cleanliness both?
So I think this is really at the core of what we need to do as a nation, because the fact that tourism is going to grow and going to grow rapidly and robustly for a long time, that is a given. I think the challenge before us is how do we bring it within a framework of sustainability so that we do not take away from nature, you know, more than what it can give, and how do we ensure that the communities are supported and not just the businesses. So I think the challenge for us really is to create a framework both for the consumer as well as for the industry. So we work at several levels. So in all the government projects that we do, sustainability is a very important aspect of it. So in terms of power consumption, in terms of water, in terms of carrying capacity, all of those things are, you know, absolutely ironclad. The second thing that we do is that we also, Ministry of Tourism classifies hotels. So when you go to a hotel and it's a 5-star hotel or a 4-star hotel, it means that the Ministry of Tourism has actually taken a look at that hotel and it has assessed its quality, and then that star categorization has been given. An important part of this star classification is sustainability. Are you sustainable, you know, in the way that you do? You handle your water, you handle your power, there are a whole lot of things, energy consumption. So now we have gone one step further. And we have carved out a new thing called the Green Leaf certification, which is for hotels. So I can be a 5-star hotel, but I also need to take a Green Leaf certification for the hotel, which essentially maps me on how well I have achieved my goals on sustainability. And there are certain targets which are set, and those which do well will get the highest category, and so on and so forth. So I think that is from the industry side. That is how we want the industry to move. So similarly, tour operators, etc., we'll bring them within the framework. The second thing that we have done is that the Honorable Prime Minister has given us this clarion call for Mission Life. So we have created framework taking that as inspiration. It's called Travel for Life. In Travel for Life, the idea is that not just that the things around the industry, but it's also from the consumer side. So if I'm a tourist, what are the things that I need to do? So it is essentially advisory. It takes a position of advocacy and, you know, tells people that when you go to a place, eat local cuisine, buy local products. Don't go and take, you know, long showers. Shut off the lights when you're, you know, not in the room. So these are simple things, but these are things that, you know, we tell them. Do not carry plastic. Do not litter. So these are things which have to go into making India a better tourist destination.
I would also like to talk to you about the accessibility. So what are the steps that the government has taken to ensure a comfortable and smooth stay and visit for people with disabilities?
Accessibility is an agenda in action. You know, there are several sites where we have done exceptionally well, but there are still several tourist sites where we need to do a lot more. But I think what we need to do is, as a nation, to inculcate this sensitivity to acceptability. It has to be the lens through which we see. Whatever it is that we develop, we need to ensure that accessibility is covered in that. And not just from somebody whose movement is impaired, but also visual and, you know, from an auditory impairment. How do we create the experience for all of them? How do we bring that inclusion within the system? So I think on that, at a policy level, we are completely committed to it. Now, and all the new projects that we do have that in place. And all the classifications and certifications that we do for industry products like hotels, etc., it's a fully embedded part of that. So if I'm a 5-star hotel, I cannot be accessibility certified. If I'm not, then I will not get the 5-star category classification. So that we have done. But I think there's a lot more work needs to be done, especially at tourist destinations. How do we make things even more accessible and, you know, easy for people to do? But I'm sure that in the next 5 to 10 years, we will be in a much better place than we are now.
Listeners, now I would like to take you to the winters of Leh. Mr. Yusuf, first of all, I would like to ask you, what is one special thing which attracts tourists to Leh?
As we all know that Ladakh is called as land of high passes and mountains. There are so many beautiful areas here. I may say that tourist places here, be it Nubra, be it Pangong Lak, be it Suru Valley in Kargil. These are all the areas that mostly attract the tourists from all across the India, not only from India, but foreign tourists also visit in these areas. As we all know that Suru Valley is in Kargil, has recently been named as one of the 25th best destinations by National Geographic, because the landscape there, travelers seeking adventure and spiritual solace. They come there, they visit for meditation, trekking, visiting historical sites, adventure supports, and more travelers also visit the border areas there. Turtuk is a beautiful place to visit, though it is a small village. There is a Pangong Lak, but mostly travelers visit here in summer season, because in winter there is so much cold and snowfall. Administration here is doing a good work here, because we all know that there are not so many hotels and guest houses in all the border areas. So administration they are giving incentives to the people so that they can open a homestay there.
Recently, the Ministry of Tourism announced winners of the Best Tourism Village competition, and 36 villages were recognized across 8 categories. Mr. Villa, now drawing your attention to wildlife and nature tourism, what initiatives are being taken to maintain that balance?
So I think one of the big challenges that we have, especially in our natural habitats, is the man-animal conflict. And tourism should not go and worsen that. And in fact, we should try to work as to how we can respectfully coexist. Contrary to popular perception, it is not that tourism goes and creates a problem for ecohabitats. Especially if you look at the Periyar Tiger Reserve, which was, you know, over 20 years ago. In Kerala Tourism, we had actually taken all the poachers and trained them to be tourist guides. So these people became guides inside the forest, which took people. And therefore, we've been able to switch all of them from illegal activities to a legal job which supported them and their families. And therefore, Periyar Tiger Reserve, if you see, has actually benefited a lot more. The second thing is that when tourists go, they're not only going there to experience, but they're also becoming your watchdogs. If there is something wrong that is going on, if there is tree felling, if there is something happening, they're quick to report back. But the challenge is that we will have to get it within the confines of carrying capacity. We cannot have, you know, suppose if the carrying capacity of a place is 100, we cannot push 1,000 and allow them to go and disturb the, you know, natural balance of that habitat. If it is 100, I think we need to stick to 100. We need to ensure that the right number of people go. And we also need to ensure that the experience for them is correct. And we should also ensure that the experience of the original habitat people, which are original, you know, animals, etc., in the habitat, are not disturbed. So I think it is not difficult for us to find the golden mean. But I think the important thing for us is to start mapping carrying capacities and what kind of activities will you allow in which areas, and ensure that they do not, you know, sort of violate the lifestyles of animals which are already there.
From the winters of Leh and Ladakh, now I would like to take you all to Jaipur, where our correspondent Mr. Jay Kishan Sharma has joined us.
Khambagani.
Mr. Sharma, all of us are aware Rajasthan is a beautiful state and very colourful. And winters is the perfect time to visit Rajasthan. First of all, I would like to ask you, can you talk about one special tourist attraction of your state?
Well, Rajasthan is known for its slogan and tradition, Padharo Maharadhes, whether it is winter, whether it is summer or rainy season. It is very difficult to mention one specific place in Rajasthan because to explore the beauty of sand and the hospitality of Rajasthan, as we always say, Padharo Maharadhes and Jaane Kya Dikhja Rajasthan Mein. Let me try to bring in your attention of what initiative central government is taking here. For example, heritage circuit is being development is taking place in Kumbhalgarh Fort, Jaipur, Nargarh Fort, Jhalawan Ghagrod Fort, Chittorgarh Fort, Hanumangarh Goga Meri. If you talk about spiritual development, integrated development of Pushkar is taking place under Prashad scheme. So there are a lot of initiatives like celebration of fair and festival and events in state of Rajasthan. Central government is giving financial assistance to that. If we talked about scheme assistance by the central agencies for tourism infrastructure development, then joint development of Ajmer Railway Station, Jaipur Railway Station, Chittorgarh Railway Station. And so it's a cumulative effort which is taking place in Rajasthan. And let me bring in you that very important data, that 12% of Rajasthan economy completely relies on tourism. Let me state the important data in 2023 financial year. 179 million domestic tourists visited Rajasthan and 1.7 million international tourists visited Rajasthan. In the year 2022, Rajasthan was ranked 7th in terms of domestic as well as international tourists. And it has got 9 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. So, and if you talked about a pilgrimage, a Prashad scheme, pilgrimage rejuvenation and spiritual augmentation drive scheme, the integrated development of Pushkar Ajmer is already underway. And additionally, Shri Karni Mata Mandir in Bikaner district and Sun Temple in Kota districts are recognized as key sites. So whether it is winter, summer or any season, Rajasthan is always the place to be. Deksha.
Now listeners, Hindustan ka dil dekho. Madhya Pradesh. I am joined by Mr. Sanjeev Sharma from Bhopal. Mr. Sharma, when we talk about Madhya Pradesh, what are the features which attract tourists to your state? And could you also explain and talk about the Prashad scheme and the scheme being run by the central government to promote tourism in your state?
As far as Madhya Pradesh ka dil, desh ka dil is concerned, the Madhya Pradesh government has taken several initiatives to promote tourism, particularly religious tourism under the Prashad scheme, as you mentioned. Most important step is developing religious sites. The state government is restoring and developing important religious sites, including, as you know, Mahakal Lok, Mahalok, a spiritual hub around the Mahakaleswar temple, the Devi Lok Shakti Mandir site in Salkanpur, Pal, with better access and facilities for pilgrims, the Sri Hanuman Lok, the to celebrate Lord Hanuman. Ram Raja Lok is also a very famous site in Orchha Rama, also called as Mini Ayodhya of MP. Sant Ravidas Lok, Mata Mandir Lok, there are various religious sites developed by Madhya Pradesh government. Another important step by the state government is Mukhyamantri Tirath Darshan Yojana. With the help of central government, under this scheme, the government provides one-time assistance to senior citizens to visit pilgrimage sites, not only MP, but outside MP also.
Mr. Birla, lastly, what message would you like to give to all our listeners?
I think when we travel, we should, wherever we go, we should treat it as our own home. Just as we make an effort to ensure that our homes are clean, wherever we go, we should also try to do that.
Thank you so much, Mr. Billa, for joining the discussion today.
Thank you, Deeksha, for having me.
Incredible India. You were listening to a discussion on government's efforts to promote tourism in India. The participants were Suman Billa, Additional Secretary, Ministry of Tourism, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani.